Thank you, Brother Tom. We have one announcement for the seniors. The dinner Tuesday will not be at Sister Kim's house. It'll be downstairs. The dinner Tuesday will not be at Sister Kim's house. It'll be downstairs. I used up all my crayons trying to get directions to find Sister Kim's house.
Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. Who He was, He is today. Not one word of God has changed. It's not just history that we're It's still living, it's still breathing, and in its pages we hear God's voice. Not one time has it ever come back void. Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. Who He was, He is today. Not one word of God has changed. It's where I learned to love my enemies, and no one's ever out of reach. Each line has the power to change regret. It reminds me there's no sin He won't forget. Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. Who He was, He is today. God has changed. There's forgiveness in its message. There's a path to new direction. And for the brokenhearted, it restores, and the lost are found by its words. Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. Who He was, He is today. Not one word of God has changed. Who He was, He is today. God has changed.
Yes, amen.
Where's our memory verse? Psalm 73:24 is correct. What's it say? That's right. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Together, everyone.
Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory.
Good. Again.
Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory.
Great. One more time.
Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy
Yes, amen. I'm glad Kim's brother Greg's here today. He's been here many times. And my friend, would you pray, Brother Greg? Okay, we've been in 1 John for a few weeks here, and I'd like to read about 5 verses here by way of review, get my mind back to where it belongs. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That's review. Now, verse 5, we'll try to start on today. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all.
Right.
Now, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to preach the gospel. He came so there'd be a gospel. If He didn't come, you wouldn't have a gospel to preach. He is the gospel.
Yeah.
He didn't come. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come just to preach the gospel. He is the gospel. He came so you would have a gospel to preach. Now, light is so common that many times we take it for granted. There's 3 main forms of light. Number 1 being the sun. You probably didn't get up this morning and say, oh boy, the sun come up today. No, we just take it for granted. Matter of fact, I take it for granted. I assume it's going to come up in the morning. The sun's coming up in the morning. I'm going ahead and assume that. That's permanent and fixed. And the sun's in the center of everything, and the earth and everything else ought to be revolving around Him. The most important object in the sky to us is the sun.
That is right.
The sun. Now, the most important object to Him on earth is His bride. It's another form of light. She's also permanent.
Right.
She's also fixed. There's a Lighthouse Baptist Church in almost every good-sized town. She's a picture of the lighthouse. The most important thing on the earth to the sun is His bride. And then He gave us a portable flashlight to carry around. And the most important object on earth to us is His Word, the light of His, the lamp.
Yeah.
Thy Word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now that that lighthouse, also another picture of the church, is the moon. Let's look at this, some of this here in Genesis 1. Starting in verse 3 is what we just talked about there, about the sun mainly. And God said, let there be light. You'll never believe what happened next. And there was light. Just like He said, you can count on it. You can depend on it. You can rely on it. You can take it to the bank. The Word of God will come to pass. Verse 4, God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Then starting in verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. I want to remember that. Now He's talking about the sun, moon, and stars here. Or we already got the sun, the moon, and stars. And it's for signs, right up front, for signs. And for seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day. The brightest thing in the daytime sky is the sun.
Right.
Is the sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. The brightest thing in the nighttime sky is the moon. The moon. And he made the stars also. Just like a hobby. Sideline, just flung them out there. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon earth. That's what we're talking about, light. That's what 1 John 5 said. We're talking about light. To give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. We saw there a couple weeks ago, the Lord's only been gone 2 days. The day of the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And he's been gone 2 days, and he went back home. That's what he did. And he more or less left us in charge. We have no light of our own. The moon only reflects the light of the sun. We have no light of our own except for the man in the moon. If it wasn't for him, we would have no light. We only reflect what he gives us. Right. Now, the moon is about 1/4 the size of the earth. And the sun is 400 times as big as the earth. The sun, he's big. Just go ahead and tell you this morning, he's big. He's big. And God gave us these things in the heavens for signs of things to come. You know, like in Luke 1, that holy thing. He told us he's coming. He told us, he said, somebody holy is coming. Gonna be the son of righteousness is what Malachi said. Last thing he said before he went off the scene. And he's the brightest thing in the daytime sun. Daytime sky. Philippians 2:15. But he went home. He went home and he left us. Philippians 2:15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Right. It's getting darker. It's getting darker. Man's getting more knowledge, more facts, more computer. He can look up anything and give you the numbers. But we're getting farther and farther away from God. And you can be like me, about like a half-burned-out light bulb. You don't have to be very bright to shine in this world. It doesn't take much. Sometimes just a word. Sometimes it's just a word. The moon is the brightest thing in this night sky, in the nighttime. We're in the night season.
Right.
One reason the Lord did this is so he could be in two places at once. The world sees him through us. Another good thing about the moon is things are lighter. You got these fellas just got through selling some potatoes. Lane and Landon, and I understand they were doing, they said 60 pounds was a bushel. On the moon, that would weigh 10 pounds. You know, we got a prayer list about that long, and I've heard it said repeatedly just in recent weeks, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord, I don't know how we'd do it. You know, around the church house, burdens are a lot easier.
Right.
Say, hi, brother, how you doing today? Well, it's good to see you. Brother Charlie come in quoting maybe not verses, but a Bible song this morning got me all fired up the first thing. Burdens are a lot lighter around the church house. Another thing, the moon is never still. The moon isn't never still. And we're told to follow in his footsteps, and that's what happens. Over at my house, I look out, and about right over here in the morning, here comes the sun, and it comes across and goes like that. And then after a while, I'll look, and here come the moon. And she's following him. It's always in a straight line.
Think about that.
She's not bobbling around. She's following him. So when we get lined up with him, we just do a lot better.
Yeah.
The moon does. And it's predictable. I remember as a kid, we used to get this as a calendar. It was on white paper and had red print. And it would tell you a year from now, the very minute the sun was going to rise and set and when the moon was going to rise
right.
and set.
Right.
It's predictable. You know, about a year from now, about 10 o'clock, the church is going to be here. The church is predictable.
Yeah.
The moon's predictable. Matter of fact, she's going to stay till 11 o'clock. You can count on it. She's going to come back about 6 o'clock tonight. It's predictable. She's going to be here. She's going to be back Wednesday night. The moon's faithful. The moon's faithful, and it's worldwide. See, she's shining over in Kenya. Boyd's going to go over and check her out.
Yeah.
He's on the way. She's shining over in Italy. The moon is faithful. Psalm 19. I know you know this. It's nothing new here. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. See, the sun, moon, and stars didn't have to go to language school. They preach the gospel, their words. Now, on the moon, there's bright spots and dark spots. And there's exactly, the bright spots are mountains, and the dark spots are craters, valleys. And there's exactly twice as much bright area as there is dark area. And it takes two mountains to make one valley. And looking back, I think what I see is that the good times outweigh the bad
yeah.
around the church house. I just kind of noticed that. Now, the evolutionists, they had high hopes in that space program that, number one, they was going to find life on the moon or Mars or somewhere. That really helped them with their evolution because they don't have any evidence. Now, what I said was they didn't have any evidence. They don't have a little bit of evidence. They don't have any evidence.
Right, right, right.
And they're scratching around for evidence, and I think that's really what's behind the space program. And that one of their theories, they got many theories. One of their theories, when that big bang happened, is a piece of the earth broke off over there where the Pacific is and went out there, and then it got hung up, and it's been going around the earth. And they brought some of those rocks back, and they were disappointed. They found out that they're not even similar to anything we got.
Right.
They're not like nothing here. Matter of fact, they're peculiar to the moon. They don't belong here.
Yeah.
You understand you don't belong here.
Yeah.
You don't belong here. You're made of a completely different material. See, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm going to be here very long. It's just about time. I've been told two or three times this morning, it's just about time.
Yeah.
He's coming back. Out there at the door, Brother Roger told me, he said, it's about time. He said, we're going home. He said, we don't belong. We're different.
Amen.
One side of the moon's very hot, 212 degrees. It's about where water boils, starts bubbling up. If you hang around here till about 11 o'clock, you might get warmed up. You might get to hear about him start bubbling over. On the other side, it's very cold, negative 180. On the dark side, but there ain't none of it lukewarm. It's hot or cold. From where the sun's at, looking at the moon, it's always full. He doesn't see fault in you. When he looks through the blood, he sees his son, and there's no fault in the moon. And he's getting ready to come back. He's getting ready to come back. You know, moonlight's romantic. More love, more births. Up at the hospital, they know that. They get ready when it's a full moon. They know there's some births coming. They're not the only one. The Police get ready too, because they know there's some lunatics coming out. Ephesians 2. Starting in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us. Not regular old love, great love.
Yeah.
And then there'll be some babies born. Because the moon's got great love. Because he's in two places. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus. We're talking about the moon. We're talking about the light of the world.
Yeah.
I tell you what. There's more deaths in the dark of the moon. In the bright moon, there's bursts. But when the moon, when the church is dark and sad and gloomy, got a long face, and won't be any bursts.
Yeah.
Won't be any more bursts. The moon affects our behavior.
Yeah,
I don't act like I used to. Again, those lunatics. I was a lunatic. Now, I haven't learned all the signs. I don't know all the signs. That almanac, though, it's not magic or nothing. It's just where they observed for centuries, man's observed. And what they found out, if you do it in the wrong moon, shingles won't stay on the barn.
Right.
And taters won't stay in the ground.
Right.
And fence posts won't even stay in the hole.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
If you got the wrong moon. 1 Corinthians. Starting in verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. See, God's in the garden. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And we are laborers together with God, the sun and the moon. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Fishing's better when the moon's right. That same calendar I'm talking about, it had a little picture of a little fish up in the corner there for every day, and it would show you when the fishing was better. And it was based on the moon.
Right.
I tried to find one of those calendars. I couldn't find one. I don't know if they still make them or not. You got them? Can you? Where you get them?
Jackson's
Meat Shop. We'll go over and get me one. Luke 5:5. It'll help you with your fishing. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we've toiled all night. And that's what I usually do. I've taken nothing. That's me. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. If I get my signs right, if I get my calendar, if I go over and get me a calendar, I'll do a lot better. 1967, when all the space stuff started, I don't know about all of it, but a lot of it, they formed an international space treaty. You know, the U.S. and Russia, they were competing on who'd get to the moon first and do this, that, and other. And this international space treaty said that no nation can lay claim to the moon. Ain't nobody owns it. Ain't nobody owns it. We belong to him.
Yeah.
Headquarters in heaven. Now, I don't understand all this either. I don't understand gravity, but I hold on to that rail there when I go down. I believe it.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I just believe it.
Yeah.
But somehow, not only does that moon affect the earth, and the pull of those tides. There's a high tide and a low tide 2 times every day, everywhere in the world. But also, the moon is not all that has gravity. The earth has gravity. And the sun has gravity. And the moon's hung there between the earth and the sun, and they're both pulling on it. And the world is pulling on you today.
Yeah.
It has a pull on you. It has a hold on you.
Yeah.
And the sun has a hold on you today. I hope. I hope. And you're being pulled in two directions.
Yeah.
And if the sun would happen to quit pulling on you, now he's not going to, you would fly back to the world. If the world, when he quits holding the world together, what we read over there in Colossians chapter 1 just recently, when he quits holding everything together and that world don't have no pull on you, you're going to fly to the sun.
Yeah.
And it's just about time.
Yeah.
It's just about time. It's about time to go home. Okay, back to 1 John. Now, on your handout last week, I didn't do it again, but if you got a handout last week, it says in the book of John, in the chapter 1, there's three misconceptions that man does. And we already read the first three verses here. Starting in it's actually chapter 1, a couple verses, chapter 2. Starting in verse 4, the first misconception of man is that man can follow God and still walk in sin. Little John tells us about this starting in verse 4. It's a misconception.
Right.
It's a misconception that man can fellowship with God and still walk in sin. We're not talking about being saved, we're talking about fellowship. If you remember, that's the subject of little John here. We see it in verse 3, this fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son. But it's a misconception that a man, that Brother Rick, can fellowship with God and still walk in sin, starting in verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We're talking about full joy. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about your joy being full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Right.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Right.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Right.
The number two misconception in the first part of John here is verse 8 and 9. It's a misconception that man is not totally sinful and depraved. Now, God tells us to repent. God tells us to come to him. We can do that. We can do that. But otherwise, man is totally sinful and depraved. Verse 8 and 9 tells us that. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If I tell you I got saved November 16th, 1974, and I haven't sinned since then, I believe in sinless perfection, will you go talk to Sister Kim and you ask her about that?
Yeah.
See how Brother Rick's doing. It's a misconception that man is not totally sinful and depraved. See, what I need is a perfect, sinless Savior.
Right.
That's the same thing you need. That's what we all need. How about a perfect, sinless substitute?
Yeah.
That's what I need on Judgment Day. I really need him every day. And notice before I pass on here, like, verse 8 and verse 10 are very similar. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And by the way, that's the worst kind of deception. If I trick myself, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
If I believe my own lies, that's pretty bad right there. Pretty bad. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. if we confess our sins, now verse 9 has been named rightfully so, the Christian bar of soap. I use it many times a day. Been using it for 40-some years. I need it a lot. I don't always quote it verbatim. Many times I say, Lord, I messed up again. I'm sorry. God, I failed again. I'm like a little bit like Andy Griffith. I don't know why I'm always catching my pitchfork on my own britches.
Yeah.
But that's what I... Verse 9 will fix that, takes care of our daily sins. Not talking about salvation. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right.
And you can be washed a slate, to be washed white again daily, maybe several times a day, just like when you got saved.
Right.
We don't get saved again. We confess and clean up. And nothing between me and the Savior. See, I love that power, that omnipotence, how great He is. He's got all power, all the power there is. I like that omniscience, knowing He knows everything and I need more intellect every day. But I like the omnipresence. When there's nothing between. Nothing between me and the Savior. And especially even in my heart. Not even on the outside, but in my heart. Nothing between that omnipresence. I was trying to compare verse 8 and 10 when I went off this rabbit track here. Let's look at it. Verse 8 again says, and we say that we have no, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. In verse 8, the truth's not in us. In verse 10, His word's not in us. In verse 8, the truth's not in us. In verse 10, His word's not in us. In verse 8, the truth's not in us. In verse 10, His word's not in us. In verse 8, the truth's not in us. In verse 10, His word. You want me to keep going or you think you got it? You got it? Okay, we might go to something else then. The point is, it's a misconception that man is not totally sinful and depraved. There's a few of these papers left out in the foyer if you need one, if you didn't get one last week. The number three misconception is man can be sinless and righteous on his own. Got a key word there, phrase, is on his own. It's a misconception that man can become sinless and righteous on his own.
Right.
Here recently we've been talking about reformation. That would be me cleaning up myself. And don't be mistaken. If I put off, let's say I wasn't saved, and I put off getting saved from today till tomorrow, I'm going to get saved Monday. Don't be mistaken about this. There's only going to be more sins on my account tomorrow.
Right.
It's impossible to clean up.
Right.
You cannot. Not on your own. It's a misconception that man can become sinless and righteous on his own. That's a misconception. It's a falsehood. It's a lie. You can't go with it. The purpose of this fellowship, remember 1 John, we're in 1 John. The purpose of this fellowship that we'd learn more about the Father. We'd learn more about the one who saved us, about our Savior, about the Holy Spirit. We'd learn that the Father's light. We've been talking about that. We'd learn that He's righteous. He's right. Brother Rick's wrong. He's right. Righteous. Righteous. Filled with righteousness. That He's omniscient. That He knows everything we've been talking about. We're going to learn that He's love. That He's invisible. And that He's life. He's life. Man objects to the fact that he has no merit with God. We like to think we do something. Man objects to the fact that he worships wrong.
Yeah.
Man objects to the fact that he's unacceptable to God. We don't like to hear that. Man's in the dark about God. Man does not know how God wants him to live. Man cannot cross over into the spirit world, so God become a man to show us. and then to even write it down so we could find out about God. Foolish man rejects God and his son. Foolish man rejects God and thinks God won't reject him. Foolish man rejects God and thinks God's going to accept him. But he won't on his own. We lie and do not the truth. It's impossible to walk in the light and darkness at the same time.
Right.
But we can walk in the light and the blood cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9. How about this for a quote? I just found this week, and some of you is going to know where I found it. Knowledge is the act of passing from a state of unconscious ignorance to a state of conscious ignorance. It's a good quote. I don't care who said it. Doesn't matter where I got it. It's a good quote. Knowledge is the act of passing from a state of unconscious ignorance. See, I didn't used to know I was ignorant. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I know it now. It doesn't mean I got knowledge. I'm still learning. Knowledge is the act of passing from a state of unconscious ignorance to a state of conscious ignorance. L.S. Schaffer said that. The requirements for this fellowship. I need to walk in the light. I need to recognize my sin. I need to fess up, not to a priest, not to earthly man, to God, to the Lord Jesus. I need to say, Lord, it's my fault again. I did it again. I stubbed my toe on the same rock again. I must confess my sins to Him. Confess is to agree with. When the Holy Spirit points out a sin in our life, in Rick's life, I need to immediately agree with Him. While the blood of Christ will cleanse us from every sin, it will not cleanse us from even one excuse.
Right. Right.
Let me read it again. One person understood that. It won't cleanse me from mistakes either, by the way. When the Holy Spirit points out a sin in our life, now this is how we can be happy. I'm not mad at nobody. This is going to help us right here.
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit points out a sin in Rick's life, Rick immediately needs to agree with him. While the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all sin, it will not cleanse me from one excuse. Not one excuse. I need to agree with God that I'm wrong and He's right. Sin is so common and corrupt that we hear about almost every sin almost every day.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners.
Yeah, that's true.
Apples don't make the tree an apple tree. An apple tree has apples because it's an apple tree.
Right.
That's what it does. That's what we do. We're sinners. That's what we do. The things I do don't make me a sinner. They just prove it.
Right.
They prove that I'm a sinner. That's the proof. The proof's in the pudding. God does not cleanse us because He's indulgent and easygoing. No, no. He cleanses us because He's faithful to His promise. And He does what's right. Because He wrote down 1 John 1, 8, 9, and 10. And He's going to stick to it. Jesus has paid the full price for our sin and our sins. See, when I got saved, I didn't confess my sins. There was 21 years of them. I can't name 1 week's worth of them.
Right.
I did not confess my sins. I agreed with God that I was a sinner, like His Word said. I told Him Rick was the problem. God has accepted the blood of Jesus as full payment for both my sinful condition and my sinful conduct. Confessing both opens up a floodgate of forgiveness. Romans chapter 1, the heathen's brought into court. Chapter 2, the hypocrite. Chapter 3, the Hebrew. And then the heir and the hopeful. And then all human beings end up being in the court. And we're all declared guilty. Until the Son takes my place and steps in. And the Father, the judge, pounds the gavel and says, innocent. Now, when he looks at me, he sees the blood of his Son, and he's faithful to accept that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name.